Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today, it's your boy, Jay King, from MassLive.com, with special guest Millies, a local rapper from Cambridge, turning into a big-time national rapper. You know him because every morning, Monday through Friday, he blesses you with the greatest podcast intro of all time. He recorded the beautiful music you hear at the start of this, which is honestly like I listen to it on loop all the time. Like it's in my rotation of songs to listen to on iTunes.
Yeah, man. I definitely think we got the best podcast intro.
It's not even close though. Like There is no...
Yeah, no, I'd like somebody to step forth if they think their podcast intro is better. We could have a podcast intro battle.
All right, so but we're going to talk about Millies' music career a little bit later, but first I want to talk to him about the Celtics. He's a huge, huge Celtics fan, so I actually met him at a Celtics game. He came barging into press row. Like, we're all sitting there, us reporters with our laptops and stuff. And nobody's allowed in there. And then all of a sudden, Millies comes running through. And I'm like, oh, there's Millies. Great to meet you, man. That was a great
intro. After I was like, am I doing the right thing right now? Like, I guess that's not proper protocol. I was just too hyped, man. It was like, you know, I'm meeting the stars of Rain and Jays, man.
So we met. We've talked about your music a little bit, but I'm really curious about some of that. So we're going to talk about that. First, I want to talk to you about the Celtics, and you were telling me about one of your first Celtics memories, which you didn't even appreciate, man. You got to shake Larry Bird's hand.
Yeah, real young. I ended up in the garden real young. I forget literally for what. I know we were all a bunch of kids wearing the same shirt. It was probably a promotion or something. I don't know. I have no idea what it was, but I got to shake Larry Bird's hand. I made that sound. It was really like he slapped me five. Like, it wasn't like a, like, you know, but. Yeah, I didn't appreciate it at the time, but later on, I grew to appreciate it.
So I don't think I've ever told this story on the podcast before. Maybe I have. When I was like, I must have been 5 years old, my parents got me tickets to the old Boston Garden to see Larry Bird in his final year. And I had become a huge fan because my older cousins, who were great basketball players, I looked up to them so much because they were so good at basketball, and I thought they were the coolest people ever. And they thought Larry Bird was the coolest person ever. So Larry Bird was like a god to me. Like, I'm 5 years old. I don't know much about basketball. Like, obviously, I love the game, but he was like he was like Jesus Christ to me. So I went to the old garden, and my parents still give me shit to this day because I was shaking, literally physically shaking the whole time I was there. So I would have given anything to be in your place. And here you are, you didn't even appreciate it, man.
I definitely wasn't shaking, man. I took it in stride.
You've been cooler since you were young, man. Cooler than I remember. All right, so what is your favorite Celtics team ever? You grew up in Cambridge. You grew up in the Boston area. I know you're a huge Celtics fan. You're actually a podcast listener. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm a podcast listener, Celtics,
Twitter stalker, all of that. I mean, 08, you got to go with 08. You have to. I mean, we brought it back home. I cried tears of joy, you know? I mean, Pierce is my favorite Celtic of all time. So, yeah, definitely the year when we won the championship.
Do you have a favorite Paul Pierce memory?
Yeah, I mean, probably, you know, the wheelchair moment.
The wheelchair moment was your favorite?
Yeah. I mean, when he went off in the wheelchair and then he came back running out of the tunnel and started making three pointers, like that was so epic. I thought his career was over and he was just being mad dramatic, like it was great.
That's funny because I always looked at the wheelchair as like just hilarious, like
yeah, that's off. Me too. I thought that was just hilarious, like that was, you know, I like weird Paul Pierce stuff. Like when he got didn't he get ejected in Indiana series and he took off his jersey and stuff like that? Like,
yeah, he wrapped his head up in bandages and came to the press conference.
Yeah, man. Like, I got a lot of Pierce memories. You know, it was so crazy. I got my first time. I sat courtside. I was cool with a Patriot player at the time, so he got comped tickets or whatever. So we went. Courtside, this, mind you, this dude wanted to leave at halftime to go record in the studio, and we're playing Dallas. Like I could have tripped Dirk Nowitzki. Like it was crazy. That's how close I was. And this dude wanted to leave, but yeah, it was crazy. Like Pierce was like standing. I almost had a J. King moment, shaking, because Pierce was standing right next to me, taking out the ball, and I wanted to say something encouraging to him because when I watch him on TV, I'd be like, "Yeah, P, go P, let's go P." all of that left my body. I had nothing to say. Like, I really wanted to say something like, let's go, like, just something encouraging. To just, I don't know, talk my shit. And I just couldn't, yo. I froze up. I was shaking like Dick King in the nosebleeds, man. It was terrible. And then my man from the Pats made us leave at halftime to go record, which I do all the time. I'm like, oh, it's terrible. But I'll be back there. Season ticket holder in the future. Courtside.
that's great, man. You gotta give him some encouraging words next time. Next time you get courtside, you gotta do that.
Nah, definitely. I'll be more confident this time.
All right. So everybody listening out there, follow Millie's on Twitter at @MILLYZ. Search for his stuff. YouTube. He's got a lot of mixtapes out there. His latest hit is Lessons, and that's kind of taken over.
Yeah.
Is that everywhere right now? It's everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, like, we dropped the song. It was crazy because I started doing, I think I had leaked the song to, one or two girls, and they would put up, videos just of them, rapping along to it, and I put it on my Instagram, and everybody would be like, what is that song? And so I built some, anticipation for the song, and then when I dropped it, you know, it just took off with people doing their own videos, just a lot of fan engagement, and everybody was doing songs just rapping along to it. You know, local rappers that are pretty popular, even Jadakiss did one, a bunch of different people, and the song just started getting some traction on SoundCloud and Spotify. It's at 300,000 streams altogether right now. It's been out for 2 months. That's not counting the YouTube video or anything, and it's going into it's done so well actually. Jammin' 94.5 is going to give it a shot and be playing it. So definitely look out for that. If you listen to the radio, it's got some spins in New York. It's also been on TV, the video on BET Jams and stuff like that. So yeah, man, that song's moving. Definitely check that out. And I got some freestyles out there and stuff like that. You know, yeah, that's some good content out there.
That's sweet, man. You've really been buzzing. So I've known your work for like almost a decade now. I one of my favorite songs of yours is Live Forever, which came out like literally almost 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, 2009.
Yeah, and it's just like an uplifting beat. I used to listen to it and get hyped. and then I listened to your new stuff. And another one of my favorite songs is Live. I forget which mixtape that was on.
You still like 3-4 years back, man. We gotta really catch you up to date.
Here's what I do.
Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate, and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10, select styles only.
I'm still stuck on like the Carter 2 and like, yeah. Like the Blue.
hey, the Carter 2 is a good. That was a solid reference, right? That's a good album to be stuck on.
So I get stuck on old music, and I hardly ever listen to new music. I mean, I give it a shot, but it's like once you get in my rotation, you never leave my rotation. Like you're just always there.
I dig that.
But one thing you've worked with Jadakiss. First of all, did you hit him with the?
Nah,
was that a good Jadakiss laugh? I don't think so.
That was semi decent. It was semi decent. We'd have to ask him.
Yeah, exactly. But how did you start working with him? I know you've collaborated with him a couple times now. He's one of my favorite rappers too. He's got a lot of his songs are in my rotation as well.
No, super legend. And the funny thing is, he's one of the. I bet you, if you do a survey in the NBA, he's one of the favorite rappers out of all of those dudes. Like a lot of, like Iverson thanked him. You know what I mean? When Iverson did his retirement speech, Iverson thanked Jadakiss and a couple other rappers for helping him get through.
Iverson thanked everybody.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
I'm just kidding.
Anyway,
he thanked a lot of people, but Jadakiss was one of the people.
Yeah, definitely. He's one of Isaiah Thomas's favorite too. But I met him in New York like 3 years ago at my manager's house. He's friends with my manager, and my manager actually started created and went. Wow, that's crazy. I didn't even think to say this on the podcast. My manager created and one mixtape series.
Really?
So he had the idea to come up with the whole the whole thing for and one. He's the creator of all of that. He goes by the name Set Free, and he's trying to get his 30 for 30 on ESPN. So let's hope it goes through. But yeah, he's still shaking and baking in the industry, and he knows. He was cool with Jada, and Jada came through, and I met him, man, and like. I played some of my music, and he was like, I like that song. I'll get on that song. And that blew my mind. And he kept his word. And then I would just pop up on him at like random club dates and find my way into his like VIP section just so I could like build up the relationship and whatnot. And I kind of grew a solid relationship with him, and now we're kind of working, and he's like, he's in full support of everything I'm doing. And he's gonna help me out in the future,
That's cool.
He's actually got Isaiah Thomas. My music on Isaiah Thomas's radar now. You know what I mean? Which is amazing to me.
That's got to be cool, man. So Isaiah's listening to your music. You said you met Jay Crowder the other night too.
Yeah, I met Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder's familiar with me too, man. He said he's a supporter of what I'm doing. And these are like, I'm talking about it casually, but these are like things that blew my mind because like as a Celtics fan, like mixing it with, like I could have big things happen in my career, but I've been telling people like for Isaiah to like post me or like to show love in any way towards my music. That's one of my dreams. Cause that's like one of my state. That's like when he's like my idol right now. Like, that dude like changed my whole life around when he got traded to the Celtics. Cause I was You know, I was on the tank bandwagon. I was on the tanking wave. And then he came, man, and I wasn't even familiar with him, but like from the first game, man, like he just uplifted me back right to you know, to where I want to be with the Celtics, man. So, you know, it's crazy to be on his radar. I got a lot of respect for that dude.
Yeah, that's cool. So the his first game, he got ejected, right? And he had like 20-something points, got ejected. And I remember he said that the strength coach, Brian Dew, told him, man, Boston's going to fall in love with you after that.
Yeah. And even Crowder, like I fell in love with Crowder when the whole thing happened. Like I think Perkins came in and tried to check him, and then J.R. Smith hit him and he bust his leg, and he was going out the game yelling at dudes. I was like, yo, this is my guy right here. I think that endeared him to Boston fans too. Even I like shit like that, like Jaylen Brown in the preseason. Didn't he try to dunk on somebody, then he got in somebody's face when they pushed him a little bit? I love shit like that.
Yeah, like, Rashawn Holmes, wasn't it? Like Philadelphia 76er, Rashawn. That might have even been in Summer League where he
Yeah, was, nah, it was in Summer League, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. So you're a huge Celtics fan. Like, you're watching Summer League. You're listening to the podcast. You do it all, man.
I'm a diehard Celtics fan. I'm like, you remember those dudes in Detroit when the Indiana Detroit fight happened and two dudes tried to step to Jermaine O'Neal in defense of the Pistons? Like, I'm that level fan. Like, if the Celtics are fighting and I'm close, like, security better watch me, man, because like, you know, I get hyped. Like, sometimes I almost want to punch the TV. Like, the second somebody brings it to a Celtic, my blood boils, man. I just want to jump through the screen and fight, man.
Watch out, world. I hope you put up a better fight than the dude.
Oh, no, nah, I would get knocked out the same. I'm sure, man. But like, when KG used to get into it with dudes, oh, my God, I'd be screaming at the TV, like...
KG was as crazy as it gets. So you're a little crazy as a fan too.
Yeah, a little bit.
So when you first came up to me on Press Row, and you offered to do the intro, I was pumped. But at the same time, like part of me in the back of my head, I was like, are there going to be like drug references on this? I was like, uh-oh. I was like, I don't have to tell Millie's, like, sorry, man, we can't be having like cocaine references on our intro. But it's unbelievable. How long did that take you to do?
I mean, I sent it back to you in like 3 days.
Yeah, it
probably,
was quick.
Right? So... What it really was I wanted to find, I was going to go with like a sample, because I put all of that together, like even the way that it comes on with the KG talking and all of that. Like, yeah. I put that together. I directed that. But I was originally going to go with like, Havlicek stole the ball or something like that. But I'm like, that doesn't ring as true to me as like, you know, more like KG with the anything is possible and all of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, essentially, like, I think it took me like a day. I just had to find, really, once I found the beat, I knew what I wanted to say. I knew I wanted to rap about the Nets pick. I knew I wanted to diss Gary Tangway and them in a subliminal way, you know. I knew everything I wanted to do. So, like, the bars were there. I just had to find the right beat. And I'm like, you know, I went with a classic LOG beat. So it's all tied into Boston, man. Yeah, man. You know, it's an epic podcast intro, but we got to switch it up like sometime, like depending on what happens, like maybe in like, I don't know, we'll know when it's time, but we're going to have to put some tweaks in there if big developments happen.
Yep. So I got to ask, man, our co-host Sam Packard, did you ever have beef with him? Because you blocked him on Twitter like years ago.
No, you know the crazy thing? So when I just realized that he was when I just realized that he was like the third number or whatever, I looked and I'm like, I got this dude blocked. And I don't block a lot of people on Twitter. Now, there's only two things it could be from. If I was going through a phase where if someone even mentioned trading Isaiah Thomas, I was blocking people. Like, yo, so I don't know if I literally can't remember what I blocked him for. If he ever said was in favor of trading Isaiah Thomas, I might have blocked him, which is mad petty. I wouldn't do that now. You know what I mean? But there's a chance. So if he ever had a tweet that said something about he thinks we should trade Isaiah Thomas, that was what I blocked him for. Or, I don't know, maybe he heckled me prior to the Rain and Jays or something.
He never heckled you. It's funny because one of his best friends is from Cambridge. And so when I told the guys that you were going to you were gonna make us his podcast intro, he's like, man, I love Millie's music. Like, I've been a big fan for years and years. And then he went on Twitter to check, and you had him blocked.
Yo, it was so crazy. Like, I looked at it, and I'm like, damn, I got this. Like, this is like my home team. I blocked them on Twitter, man. And I've probably only blocked like five people, so I really don't know. If it wasn't the Isaiah Thomas thing, I don't know what it was, man. But I was taking that like really hot. Like, I used to get really mad when people would even suggest that. You know what I'm saying? But
so, how long ago was this that you were protecting Isaiah Thomas's honor?
It was probably like, no, I literally remember blocking a person, like, so it was probably like a year ago or something like that. You know, like this time last year or something like that. That's
too funny. So you were one of the first on the Isaiah bandwagon then. Like, obviously everyone was averaging 30 points. How long did it take?
No. But I'm not gonna lie, I didn't know anything about him. Like, you know, I knew he averaged 14 points. I probably had never watched him play or never paid attention. And so, you know, from that first game, man, I was just like, yo, this dude is incredible. And then I saw he did everything right that you're supposed to do to make Boston sports fans love you. Like the way he, like, even if it's fake sometimes, like, but saying stuff like, I love the city. Oh, I'm in Boston. It's a beautiful city right now. He would like wave the jersey the same way Kevin got. He seemed really proud to be on the Celtics from the jump. He really like embraced it, and I just feel like he took every step that you should take to, you know, make the city really love you. And then obviously his game, like, I never saw nothing like it. Like, he's incredible, and his life, his motivation to me, like how he kind of sets goals and just keeps getting better. It's like I've been like really like doing the same thing with my career. Like, I've been kind of following like what he does on the court and trying to, you know, translate it to like his whole come up. Like, I try to translate that to, you know, my life, man, as far as just, you know, keep getting to the next level consistently.
It really is inspirational because, like, when you take a look at from the outside what he's done, and it's not just that he's done it all at 5'9".
It's that he's the 60th pick, and it's that he got a heart bigger than his body. Like, he's the dude.
And it's like he is, to me, it's like he is the perfect, I don't know the perfect, but he is an unbelievable symbol of what happens when you have self-belief that no one can touch.
Facts.
Like, all the way through, people have been doubting him. And in my basketball career, one of my biggest flaws, I had a lot of flaws, but one of my biggest flaws was that when a coach doubted me, when a teammate doubted me, when I missed a few shots, I would go south. And with him, it's almost like the other way around. Like, when people doubt him, it lifts him up. It solidifies his belief in himself. And
he almost needs it. It's like fuel for him. So I'm trying to learn that in myself, because I got a lot of obstacles to overcome just being a fucking white rapper, for starters. You know what I mean? It's just a lot of things, like being from Cambridge, it might not be known publicly for, you know, certain things, more known for Harvard. So I got to get over a lot of barriers myself. But I look at how he lets nothing get to him. He takes that stuff as fuel. You know what I mean? And it really empowers him.
Yeah, definitely. So one thing, you have a lot of tattoos. Like, you are a very tatted up man. What is your favorite tattoo that you have, and what's the meaning of it?
I don't know. I got like my right arm's like all like pretty kind of like religious things. It's like my heavenly arm, and my left arm is more I don't know, the opposite of that, I guess. But I got a tattoo of a what's my favorite? I don't know. I got my neighborhood bar tattooed on me. You know, prior to Cambridge being so gentrified and everything, we had a bar called the Ebony Club, and it was like a real members only type bar on Western Ave, a little red door. That like only locals came in, and yeah, I got that tattooed on me, and then they tore it down like a month later. And it's,
a month after. Did you?
No, I knew that. It was already closed. Closed. I knew that they were going to tear it down, and you know, moving some new people or whatever. So
at least you didn't push it to the edge.
Yeah.
I'm still laughing about the Sam Packard beef, man. That is too funny.
I gotta get to the bottom of it, man. Gotta figure it out.
So he thought you might have taken a tweet that he sent to you the wrong way. So he tweeted at you like something like really a lot of praise. It was like he was saying you were the best local rapper or something. And then shortly after that you blocked him. Like
nah.
He has a long history of being a fan of yours and liking your stuff, and then you just swatted him away, man.
Well, he's unblocked now. I don't know what happened, man. We gotta figure it out, man.
We gotta figure it out. So you and your mother are both huge Celtics fans. What is it like? I saw you both at a game. How many games have you gone to with her? And what is that like? Like talking Celtics with her?
Well, my girl works at Perkins School for the Blind, which Grossbeck's son went to. And so we get good discount tickets. So lately, you know what I mean? We've been trying to get to, like, I think me and my mother went to two or maybe three. But we've been going to games lately with the good seats popping up. But, I mean, we've always been.
I see you taking jumpers on the court afterward and stuff.
Oh yeah, no, I'm a little plugged in, you know, I'm a little plugged in. I can't give out my plug's name right now, but you know, they show me love. Put me on the Jumbotron, you know, I'm plugged in with the Jumbotron guys and all that. Like, watch next time I come.
Yeah.
Celtics have always been like, you know, one of our bonds. You know, that's like what we bond over. Like, I don't go to bars and watch Celtics games around people unless I'm like in New York and I go to like Professor Tom's. That's like the Celtics bar out there. But other than that, like I watch the game in my mother's living room like all the time. That's where I feel comfortable. It's like a ritual. So, you know, people are hitting me like during the playoffs. Like, I spaz on people when they call me during the playoffs. You know what I mean? Cause I'm in my mother's room, in my mother's living room, just locked in. That's what we do. But, yeah.
So she's a huge fan, right?
Yeah. Die hard. And she always like picks the most randomest players to like. Like, she would be like a big like Tony Battee fan or something like that. Like, you know what I mean? I like Amir Johnson. You know, I like Amir. I like Amir too.
My mom always likes players because of whether they like their mother. If a guy is like seen like hugging his mother after a game, she'll be a huge fan like that. Or if he like calls out his mother for like singles her out, like thanks her for everything she's done, she's all on board.
So she must be a huge KD fan.
Yep. Yeah, she loves KD. She thinks KD's great. I'm sure she loves Wanda Durant as well. Too funny. So I got to meet your mom, which was cool. I want to say this before we let you go. It has been really cool to me. Like, I whenever people say they listen to me, I always wonder why. That's my first reaction. Like, why are these people listening to me? And when someone like you, whose music I've listened to for a long time, whose rise I have watched from afar for a long time. Like, when you reach out to me and say that you listen to the podcast, like, that is really a cool thing for me. Like, it blows my mind that people I have looked up to and people I have appreciated for so long for their talents, when someone listens to me or reads me, I'm like, whoa. Like
that. Yeah, no, you got it, man. You're kind of like a hilarious dude. Like, your sense of humor, and then you got the knowledge with it. Like, you and John, y'all are a great team. I think the first podcast I listened to with y'all, I was like, I don't know how this is going to be. But I kind of liked it, and then y'all got into the flow of it, you know, after you got over your technical phone issues and all that.
Oh, it used to be bad in the early days. So you've been on since the real early days.
Man.
Like screeching, like, ah.
No, and I would, like, fight through it because I'm trying to hear what y'all are talking about. God.
But you've seen the technical difficulties today, so we tried to record this the first time. We got like 10 minutes into it, and I realized it wasn't recording.
It's like, yo, I don't think we're recording. Hold on, I'll call you back. I wasn't surprised.
Too funny. All right, so before I let you go, that's the second time I've said before I let you go. There was a story I heard about you, and I don't even know if it's true. Did you get in a fight with the Boston Marathon bomber?
Yes, that's a fact. The older one, but yeah, I don't want to go, you know what I mean, too much into it, but that is a fact.
See, that's crazy. I hope you whipped his ass, man.
Nah. It wasn't. I can't go too much into it, but yeah, I got a broken clavicle bone.
He was like the big MMA fighter, right?
Yeah, the real deal.
Crazy.
That's factual.
Yeah, so I heard that. I forget how I heard. I don't even remember.
Yeah, I don't know how, like.
But yeah. Crazy, crazy small world. All right, so next step for you. What is the next step for your music career?
I'm just really I got a whole project ready, but the way that my record Lessons picked up, we kind of put the project on hold because we didn't want to divert anybody's attention over to anything else. We wanted to keep all the attention on that and just see how big we can actually grow it. So right now, I'm going to come with an album at some point, but I'm thinking more like summerish, end of summer, catch a tour, some things of that nature. It's just to try to, grow my platform as big as it can be for the most part, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I've been listening since Live Forever. Like 2009. Now I was listening to Live actually today in my car on the way to Celtics practice. What has been like the biggest development for you? Like how do you work on your music and what do you focus on when you're trying to improve your craft? Because that's one thing. I'm a big music fan, like big rap fan, big hip hop fan.
Yeah.
But so I'm interested, like what are you looking to improve on? Like when you break down your music, what are like the notes you're taking to yourself that you want to work on in the future?
I just always try to keep it authentic as possible to myself and just, you know, rap about what I feel at the moment. I don't ever try to be like, damn, I gotta go make a radio song or something like that. That's how bad music gets made. And I just always try to give people like, you know, insight into my life or what's really going on with me, and just it's more like a therapy session. So I think that's why I've been doing it so long. And it's crazy because I've been rapping for damn near a decade, really chasing it since like 2008, but I feel like my stuff has kind of like doubled. My just everything has doubled as far as social media and everything just over the last, 6 months, really since like the BET Cypher. That was like the look that I needed.
Yeah, you killed that, by the way.
And I wore a Celtics jersey, matter of fact.
Yeah, everybody should go check out Millie's in the Celtics jersey killing the BET Cypher because it was really good. But yeah, since that got me on
national TV and all of that. And then ever since then, it's just been like more momentum. So it's crazy how you could be at something for 10 years and then in 6 months, you double everything that you worked for. You know what I mean? But it's definitely a blessing, man.
That kind of seems to be how it goes in rap. Like you work to the point, you work for so damn long, and then everything kind of spills over and everything starts that you put into starts to
it's
really
a tipping
pay
point,
off.
Hopefully.
Yeah,
I got to ask, man, what do you think? You think we could pass the Cavs? You think we could get that number one slot?
It's possible.
The way the schedule looks, I feel like it's possible because I know like LeBron wants rest. My manager be around Iman Shumpert, and I know like LeBron be tired, man, because he would like Shump says he works hard, man. So he definitely, I feel like they're gonna rest a bunch of players because I don't really think the Cavs care about the number one seed like that, not as much as we do, like because I don't think the Cavs are scared of anybody in the East. So if it comes to rest or the number one seed, I think they might go with rest. And their schedule is tough. They got the Hawks back to back. They got the Spurs. And we got almost a cakewalk if we play how we're supposed to play. I mean,
who knows? Have 7 home games left. Just 3 super easy road trips to New York, Atlanta, and Charlotte. And I say easy by proximity to Boston. It's not like they're going to have taxing long Western Conference road trip. Cavaliers, like you said, they have 4 back-to-backs left. So it's possible. I don't even know if the Celtics want the number one seed. Like to me, and maybe you do. Maybe you want home court.
Why wouldn't we?
If you end up seeing the Cavs. But to me, the Raptors are either the second or third best team in the Eastern Conference. I think Cavaliers 1, Celtics, Raptors 2, and 3, and then Wizards 4. So if I'm the Celtics, I'd rather see the Wizards in round 2, and they might drop to 4, but I would rather stay away from the Raptors because their defense is tough now with PJ Tucker and Serge Ibaka. And once Lowry gets back, they'll have their offense back. That's a dangerous team.
Yeah. No, you're right. But I never thought about it like that.
But then it's like, man,
if you could go for the number one seed, you got to go for the number one seed too. Like you can't chance it. Like you got to get that done. That'll help us in free agency and a lot of things.
Yeah. So who do you want out of like the potential free agent trade targets? All the big names.
Oh man, I was so like Jimmy Butler. I was so on. I went back and forth. You know, I'd be checking you guys' Twitter like every second. I'm like. Dopamine when it comes to like I'm just back and forth when you got Twitter like something happened I really wanted I wanted Jimmy Butler, man, for real. I was on the Jimmy Butler wave, but I just wanted to make something happen. I didn't really want DeMarcus Cousins like that. I wasn't too like broke down like some people were when we didn't get DeMarcus Cousins. I was just more Jimmy Butler, Paul George. I didn't really realistically think Paul George was the option though. I wanted Drummond for a second, but then his contract is crazy too, and I don't know.
Yeah, I love how big a fan you are, man. I appreciate you coming on the podcast. Good luck with everything. The rest, so obviously, I'll be watching. I'll be listening to your stuff.
All right, man. Tell Sam Packard no beef, man.
I'm glad you guys are back on good terms now.
We
can put the beef to rest. Everybody out there, thank you for listening. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. Subscribe to us, Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever else. Give us a 5-star rating. Go follow Millie's at Millie's, MILLYZ. Find all his music on Spotify, YouTube, Dat Piff. I listen on Dat Piff sometimes.
Oh, man, Dat Piff, I guess.
Yep.
If you want the old
use
stuff.
Dat Piff sometimes. So everybody go follow Millie's. We appreciate you. That's it for
MySpace.
MySpace. Yeah. Yeah, find him on MySpace too, man. That's it for this episode of the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah, J. King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics, Millie.